Welcome back to our final episode of Talking Thunder. Lucas Miles, how are you today?
Hey, I am doing great. I cannot believe this is the last episode.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed, to be honest with you, that this is the end. We've come to the end of the show, and I don't know. I mean, it's sad, but there's a lot to talk about. So before I get sad, let's dive in. You know, the show actually ends in a really cool place, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the thing that first stuck out to me was Ethan. You know, this whole time, yeah. Ethan's been sort of obnoxious, and, you know, you're like, okay, you know, Ethan's kind of a jerk and he's sketchy, but you get the backstory between him and Mike, and it's kind of sad, right? They were best friends. It falls apart. What was that like for you, sort of navigating that and hearing that story?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we all have relationships, you know, at least to some degree that have nuances of that, of people you've lost touch with that you used to be close with, you know, might not be as dramatic as that, or it might be more dramatic for some people. But, you know, I think that this is a relatable moment of friendship, and friendship's a hard thing, you know, and it can be challenging at times. So I think we're seeing kind of that real world experience that many of us can connect with, and certainly kind of puts it all in perspective of what's going on. And, you know, I think they just tied that together really well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it gives you that humanity of the other person, right? When you could just sort of dismiss the character and be like, well, they're just one dimensional, they're terrible. And then you're like, oh, there's more to Ethan's story. And then we see Ethan really live that out, right? By being kind. And that reconciliation story between him and Mike, you know, you don't always get that in life, but when you do, it almost makes you, when you watch it, like, oh, who have I wronged? Who do I need to reconcile with? Because it's just cool to see that not every story, not every broken relationship has to end in that tragic sort of way.
Absolutely. And I think that it's always great to have those kind of blasts from the past. And that's one reason why I love social media, is because you just get those messages. I mean, even just today, I had a message from a guy, you know, that I had led to the Lord years ago and lost touch with him. And he'd gone through some struggles, and he just reached out today just to tell me thank you, and that he's, you know, moved on and in a different state now, but is still following the Lord. And, you know, those kind of reconnection moments, whether they're, you know, a real intimate one, like what we see here between Mike and Ethan, of, you know, this deep friendship, or just kind of those casual connections that we make that we don't really realize what that's going to do down the road for somebody's life. It's always cool to see that.
Yeah. And I might've told you this story before, but I'll share it here without going on too much of a tangent. You know, similarly, I had a friend from eighth grade. Okay. This is somebody I was close with in eighth grade who reached out to me a couple of years back and said, and I'll never forget it, he was like, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I became a Christian because of the conversations we were having, in part when we were young, and you would talk about evolution, and you would, I mean, I don't even remember what I was saying about evolution in eighth grade, but, you know, I would sort of push back on it and explain, you know, that there was a creator. And he's like, those things later on, I actually remember those conversations as awesome. I was encountering faith, and it changed everything. And I thought, man, you just never know how you behave, good or bad, is going to impact people later on.
Love it.
All right. Anyway, back to the show. Now, there was something that Jacob said that really stuck out to me. He said, a man needs more than money to fill his soul. What a countercultural message that is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in today's world, it's, you know, if it's not money, it's followers, it's, you know, kind of fame, all those things that go with it. And I think that, you know, I think it was a Jim Carrey quote, which, you know, coming from him, it's interesting, but he had said something one time, I think, that he wishes that everybody had the success and the fortune that he had so that they could realize that it doesn't satisfy you. And, wow. And I think that that's, you know, it, when you don't have fame and fortune, we look to that as, if I only had this, then everything would be great.
Yep.
But then, you know, when you start experiencing some of those successes, you realize, like, oh, you know what? If I don't deal with my heart, if I don't deal with this longing for, you know, kind of this, you know, cliche God-shaped hole, if I don't address that, then all this other stuff, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really make a difference to my happiness. And I think it's so important that we recognize that. So, I mean, what a great moment between Mike and Ethan to really, you know, how he kind of punches that in there on Ethan in their conversation.
Yeah, because Ethan has the money. He has everything, right? And yet clearly isn't fully happy. He's still trying to sabotage Mike all these years later. And then again, you get that reconciliation. Now, obviously, in the last episode here, everything's been building up to the Devil's Hand, your gang, Lucas, that you're a part of,
right,
finding Jacob. And, you know, you hear that click of the gun and you know they're there, right? In that in that scene. And you're thinking, oh, no, what's going to happen? And so a lot happens there. And there's a few moments where you wonder, is this going to have the positive ending that we hope it does? And the series does have that positive ending. But I wanted to circle back to Logan, because we've talked a lot about Logan. Obviously, we see him, and spoiler alert, if you haven't watched, stop listening now. But we see him flip on the Devil's Hand and defend Jacob. But we also, even before that happens, you get some clues, right? Like, so when they arrive and they confront Jacob, Logan gets distracted. He's watching Addison, you know, do the whole horse thing in the rodeo. And you could tell he really cares about her. And that's when I started to realize, oh, he's really torn here.
Yes, that horse thing is called barrel racing.
Whatever. And, whatever that means. Let's not, you, first of all, you were on a ranch only to film a movie, as far as I know. So
it was a barrel racing movie, though. Yes. I have a cousin that's actually a pretty accomplished barrel racer. I've never seen her perform. She's on the West Coast, but
well, that'd require you to go to a ranch not to film a movie.
Yeah, this would be true. This would be absolutely true. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, look, Logan's transformation, I mean, it's something I think that we all wanted to see happen, but we weren't sure if we were going to get it. We're going to get it. And, you know, he was the guy that was either going to make or break, you know, things. He obviously set out to locate Jacob and to really... you know, to find him, to kind of, you know, report on where he was and get the Devil's Hand out there to take care of him. And so you're kind of wondering this whole time, but we saw, you know, looking back, you see these moments of kind of, you know, internal struggle that he has, you know, dealing with kind of this lifestyle and what he's looking for. And, you know, Addison is a major part in that. And I think that that's probably similar to a lot of stories. I was just talking to a couple last night. And it was the wife that inspired the husband to, you know, come to faith. And I think that, you know, God uses kind of every means necessary. And certainly I think without Addison in Mike's life, or in Jacob's, sorry, Logan's life. How about that? Without Addison in Logan's life, I don't know if the same outcome would have happened.
Well, yeah. And it's interesting because we were saying this whole time, you're watching Logan pretend, and he seemed really comfortable pretending the whole time. He's fitting in. He's working on the ranch. He's having meals with the family and really fitting in. And then he actually says, and I thought it was a really powerful line, "I was wrong. My entire life, I spent the last few weeks with a real family." And so I just realized
it wasn't pretending. Yeah.
Right, like there wasn't
an
pretending.
Element that was like he was really enjoying, you know, those moments.
And then that also, you know, sort of begs the question in real life for all of us, everybody wants that family, right? How do you end up in the Devil's Hand? Well, you haven't found a quote unquote family. You haven't had a real family. So you go to this counterfeit example of that, right? And it just, I think it's sort of a call on us to make sure that we're looking out for people who might fall into something like that, that we're including them and making them feel like they have family, you know, with us. That's, I know that's a huge thing for you as a pastor, but that was a little convicting to me watching this.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that, you know, having, obviously we want that for our biological families, but, you know, even our, those close relationships in Christ that we can really, you know, do life together, whether it's a life group or small group or, you know, a church family or, you know, just some friends that you stay connected with across the country. I think that we need that regular fellowship, you know, in addition to, you know, the teaching and fellowship we'd get maybe from a church itself. But that more intimate connection that can really, you know, encourage us, guide us along our way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I have to tell you, Jacob, I thought he got a little sassy towards the end there. I'm letting you live, right? He got the gun. He was, I mean, Jake, you saw that Jacob, when push comes to shove, he can defend himself and do what he needs to do. You get to see that.
Yep.
Maybe what was once a negative side of him come out in a positive way as he's doing the right thing and defending himself against the Devil's Hand. And I'm wondering, are we ever going to hear from them again? Is this the end of that road? Is there some new adventure if the series continues, which we don't know what's going to happen there. But the biggest disappointment to me was that there's no relationship with him and Sandy. It seems like they left friends.
I think that there was a door that's open. I think, you know, she made the comment of, you know, maybe you can come back and visit after I heal for a little bit. And, true. You know, she gave him a kiss on the cheek. I think that, you know, it's really, you know, she's wanting to make sure that it's right. And obviously she's, you know, gone through the loss of her, her husband who passed away. And I think that, you know, there's some, still some guardedness, that's there, but, you know, we'll have to see if that's something that materializes in a later season.
Yes, we will have to see. And I have to say, I had like Batman and Robin vibes as Logan and Jacob were teaming up. Oh,
yes. Good.
Right.
Yes, I could see that.
You know what was missing, though? You in the sidecar, because I know that you did that in Africa.
I need to talk to the producers here, because I really feel like that would be a good addition to the show. And you know, I think the viewers would love to see you and I in a cameo.
I actually think that's true. So producers, if you're listening, we would love to be, I don't know what role I want, but I mean, something easy that I could just look pretty and sit. Right. I mean, perfect. Anyway, perfect. Well, listen, I did, just as we conclude here, the part of this that I thought really at the end that was the most powerful was this idea that God is in control. And that's really what Jacob says as he's, you know, driving away, and you get that that message from him that no matter what happens, God is in control. And we saw that throughout this entire, you know, season. We saw that powerful message of, you know, life is going to throw crazy things at you. You don't always know why you're doing what you're doing. The redemption story, the wanting to be forgiven for our past sins, the things we've done. I mean, there's so many lessons here. What for you, I'm going to put you on the spot here as we end, Lucas, but what for you is the biggest, most powerful lesson from the series?
I think just the power of, you know, choice that we have. You know, I mean, obviously Logan's story could have gone either way. I think that we saw Ethan's story could have gone either way. You know, there was an element of the conscious, you know, submission to God's call on their life that in a time when it mattered, they responded to it. And there's a lot of people that don't respond to that, and they ignore that, and they lose sight of that. Or they don't listen to that voice. And I think that, you know, that's something that we have to do every single day, whether it's at a coffee shop and the Lord's going, hey, go talk to that person, or, you know, with a family member, or whatever it is, that we make sure that we submit to that voice. And you know, we never know whose life that could, you know, impact forever, you know, as a result of our obedience there.
Absolutely. And I think for me, I would say it's really the humility, which is tied to what you just said. We have a choice. It takes a lot of humility to go and say to people, I was wrong. I did a wrong thing. It's a lot easier to just be quiet and move on, but actually going and reconciling or attempting to, you're not always going to get that positive result if you've hurt someone. And we saw that with Sandy in the beginning. She came around and they have that friendship, but yeah, no, I think for me walking away and thinking, okay, you know what, you've got to make, and I know this in my head, but we have to know it in our heart that we've got to make things right when we make mistakes. So that was my takeaway from this.
Yep. Very cool.
All right. So this is the end, Lucas. This is the end. We will be back, I'm sure, very soon. I don't know what the show will be. I don't know if it'll be another season here, but listen, fans, if you want another season, let everyone know. Go on PureFlix, go on Facebook. I don't even know if I should be saying this, but I'm going to say it. And post messages and let them know that you want to see more of Sons of Thunder Redemption. Lucas, thanks for doing the show with me.
Hey, a pleasure. Great series. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
We'll see you guys very, very soon.